posted on the back wall of the meeting room. And prior turning to today's agenda, I would like to announce the procedure that we use for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will first hear staff proposals and recommendations, then the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action, and we ask that the public not interrupt the director's discussion and actions. Thank you. And with that, do we have a quorum call?
Bennett.
Present.
Fowler.
Here.
McCormick.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
And Chairman.
Here. And we have a proof of publication in the local newspaper here in my hands. And with that, item number 6, Papua NRD's Affirmative Action Program.
Tracy. Adoption of agenda.
I'm sorry, adoption of agenda. I missed
so
that.
Move.
Second.
Roll call.
Fowler?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Bennett?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Yes. Now we'll go ahead with the Papua NRD's Affirmative Action Program. Tracy Thompson, and well, Kelly's not here.
We excuse her.
She will not be joining us.
Okay.
So good afternoon, directors. Today we will review the Papua NRD's Affirmative Action Program. As an informational presentation, the following actions were completed by staff that meet the requirements set forth by the Federal Contract Compliance Program Office for implementation of our Affirmative Action Program. Please go to the summary, please. We have an affirmative action program because we are a recipient of more than $50,000 in contract money, and we employ more than 50 employees. So these items that we do every year, these are the same things we do each year on our calendar schedule. The first thing we do, we notify, well actually the first thing we do, which I will do next week, is I send a letter to management reminding everyone of their affirmative action obligations. That's as far as hiring and promotion and things like that. The subcontractors and supplier memorandums, we mail those in May, and those emphasize that we have to follow affirmative action, and so do you if you're going to do business with us, basically, if that's something they are required to do. And that is a response type of thing, where we send the letter out, they send it back signed, we get about a 55% response rate on that. And that's pretty average. 1 year we got 60. We display all of our equal opportunity and employee right posters in all of our offices, and I make sure those are up to date each year. Each year we do a veterans report on our hiring and promotion rates, and then we always certify our programs to that office of compliance. When we do have job openings, which there are times we have quite a few, it seems like, we advertise them in Nebraska Works, Work Rehab Office, our website, NARD's website, the local newspaper of the area of which the opening is at, and local colleges and universities where the positions are being filled. So as far as our employment, we employ 51 full-time, 1 temporary full-time, 2 seasonal employees. Our personnel actions this past year were 1 retirement, 1 promotion from within the district, 1 seasonal part-time hire, and 6 full-time hires, including 1 new position from outside the district. We did have 2 terminations and 1 administrative termination in good standing. And that's on the attached table. If you want to scroll to that table, please. And I know you've had a chance to look at that and review that. If you do have any questions, we can answer that. Depending on what your question is. So as far as our program, we talked to Kelly at Faircom, and it's been determined that board action is not required to approve this program every year because it is governed by federal statute. You can't make any changes to it. You can't really do anything to manipulate it. So this is basically a review. We've attached a copy of the program in your books. You can look at that. It hasn't changed other than the year, 2023 to 2024. One thing worth noting is our hiring benchmarks are protected veterans. We were notified last week that the federal hiring benchmark is a standard. It's set at 5.4% for last year, and according to the evaluation of the data, that Bear Cole did this year, our veteran hire promotion rate for 2023 was 14.3%. And over the course of 2023, we did have 6 veterans employed by the district. So that concludes my presentation. Jean and I are happy to answer any questions you may have. Otherwise, this is basically an update.
Yes, Kevin.
Very thorough, thank you, both of you. Well done.
Lots of paperwork.
Me?
Go ahead, Rich.
Rich.
John, do you have any intention of hiring anybody else or mowing the dikes and getting better?
Yeah, so Amanda and Martin and I kind of had preliminary conversations on, is it better to contract those or is it better to bring on additional equipment and personnel? So we'll finalize that probably end of this month, beginning of the next, and then we'll determine what to do after that, so. But yeah, it's part of the discussion, we've already talked about it, so.
Thank you.
Director Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was wondering if for any minority-owned businesses that may bid for any open bid for any projects that's put out, the affirmative action, like at the federal level or anything of that manner, does the Papillion, Missouri NRD give them any type of precedence?
I don't handle anything with the bidding. Brian or Amanda or John, can you address that as far as bids?
No, we don't have any percentage or standard or anything like that. I mean, as long as they're following all the federal rules and regs, that's all that we require. Brent, I don't know if you want to add anything, but.
Yeah, I would just add, as far as awarding bids, this Nebraska state statute, we have to give lowest bid, lowest responsible bidder. So as far as the certifications and percentages, that comes with the federal program as far as their workforce or their subcontractor. So I think it's two different things.
Okay.
I defer to Paracom on the affirmative action program. But as far as like awarding bids, I don't think we can give preference. It's just the contractors.
And I had another question. If on the 6 veterans that are employed, are they all full-timers? Are you allowed to say that?
Okay, so that was over the course of last year. And out of those 6, they were, well, actually, I should have said 7, because we had a part-timer that was our part-time groundskeeper. He was a veteran, but he only worked a couple months. So there would have been 7, but 6, the other 6 were full-time.
Thank you.
Yes, Director Bonet. Just for my understanding, when you say we can't make any changes, and what I'm hearing from you is that we're adopting this as is, as written, according to the federal standards, simply because we're contracting with the feds, but we absolutely have the opportunity, should we want to change it.
It's a federal form. It's the federal form with federal guidelines. I mean,
if we want to continue to bid or receive funds from the feds, then so that's really the only reason why we're adopting this. Otherwise, we're meeting the state standard.
We're not even adopting it. It's a requirement that we submit it. So it doesn't matter if you want to adopt it or not. You have to submit it, assuming you want to continue getting federal funds.
We have to submit a policy handbook like this that meets their guidelines.
This information that meets that requirement.
So we really have no input as to what is constituted in this.
That's correct. It's basically what the numbers are. There's no really any way to modify it because this is the data. Yeah, so.
So my report just shows what we're doing to be in compliance.
Right.
Got it.
And we're always in compliance.
We tried to.
Do we have a breakdown on those veterans?
On those what?
Veterans by branch.
Rank?
I can get that.
The Army. Oh, you Air Force guys. Okay, any other questions?
If not, thank you, Tracy. That was very good.
That's right.
Appreciate that. And this subcommittee is adjourned.
Got too easy there, Ted.
4:09, Ted.
Woo!
It took a little longer than I thought.
Hey, how many were
employed here when you started? Roads get real slick.
That
was it? Oh, lost the show to get how old the record. I got you over here.
I'd like to call to order the Personnel Legislative and Public Affairs Subcommittee meeting for January 9th, 2024, 4:05 p.m.
I commend you for that.
The most of the opening act has already been read, but I'll read it again for this committee meeting. The Open Meetings Act, Nebraska provides state statute 84-1407 through 84-1414. It's posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for today's meeting, I'd like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will first hear staff proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action, and will ask that the public not interrupt the directors' discussion and action. Thank you. Quorum call.
Fowler?
Here.
Jack?
Here.
Teaser?
Here.
Thompson?
Here.
And Chairman?
Here. Item number four, adoption of agenda.
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call.
Jack?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Yes. Item number five, we have proof of publication of the meeting notice. Item number six, PAPIO NRD Affirmative Action Program. Rules and regulations. Oh, shit, I'm on the wrong one. I'm still on the last one. Update to Appendix K, Rules and Regulations for PAPIO NRD Recreation Areas. John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So periodically, we review these rules and regulations for our parks. The last update was in March of 23. We, district management, legal counsel, a few directors and staff reviewed the attached rules and regs. Additionally, we did send them to the Douglas County Sheriff's Office for their input, since they have most of the enforcement issues in our parks. As you can see, I've listed the changes to the rules as proposed. Number one, general index section 10, explosives and firearms were removed from the subject line. Section two, or section one, abandoned property, amended regulation B to add for longer than 24 hours and remove language after visiting hours that any vehicle or personal property can be left unattended. Section five, boating and other watercraft or vessels. We just removed the manual standard forms appendix E, that's no longer there. Those can be obtained other methods. Section six, camping, and this is the majority of why we amended these rules. Amended regulation C to add all campers required to register at the campground registration kiosk immediately upon entering the facility. And we changed the camping fees due to the fact that we'll be adding electrical and water hookups to the RV sites at Elkhorn Crossing. Individual tent camping, we raised those per day, and the fee for the tent group camping area as well. We amended regulation C7 to add violation of rules results in exclusion from campground and forfeiture of any camping fees paid. And that's due to just the fact of just managing a campground and some of the things that you obviously run into. Section six, camping, added regulation D to address the non-payment of camping fees and the process for removal of non-compliant camper and the impoundment removal of abandoned vehicles or personal property left at the site for longer than 24 hours. Just this last summer, we were removing some tents that were abandoned, some vehicles that were abandoned, things like that. So we included that in the rules and regs, so the sheriff has some enforcement authority to do that. Section 13, geocaching permits. Section 16 permits, special use permits. And section 20, scuba diving, swimming, snorkeling, wading. Regulation A, removal of all the standard form appendix that are listed there. And section 24, water sports, general regulation, removal of the standard forms from that as well. So we recommend the subcommittee pass this to the full board for their approval on Thursday. And happy to answer any questions you may
recommend
have.
Recommend staff recommendation.
Motion second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
One small question.
Ted, you have a question?
I have one small question. Is the income per year, I guess the number of campers, is that increasing? Is it getting more popular?
It will, it is, but it will when you get electrical and water hookups. That's the thing that drives the attendance, as well as there's a a new facility that's being built in Valley, a recreational facility for soccer and
baseball, softball,
and it's very close to that, so a lot of people will, when they have tournaments, they'll drive their RV to come to those games.
They have 1,500 parking spots, so it'll be big.
So yeah, it should help the attendance. And of course, increased attendance means increased supervision, everything.
John, got a quick question for you. Have we put any thought into how we're gonna accept UAVs? More people are playing with them. I know some other states have adopted specifically for camping areas that people don't want to be dealing with things flying above them while they're camping and trying to relax. It kind of bothers them. Have we put any process to think about that? We would limit that for like, you know, crossing or something like that.
So it is limited. It's banned here at Chaco, and I believe it's limited to in the rules. I don't remember what section that is, but let me look.
Section 2.
Yeah.
Okay, I just didn't know if we had that or not.
Yeah, we do. Okay. Aircraft and powerless flight. And that lists all the provisions there.
Okay. We think of everything.
Try to.
Any other questions from directors?
I want to know who's a designated NRD staff to go kick someone out. Is it by size?
Well,
I can nominate Phil and Tim McCormick. I mean, if we need to,
we can handle McCormick.
You know, Rich will find, or staff member will find something, and then typically it's we make contact and then we call law enforcement if it becomes an issue where they have to be removed. We don't get into the business of.
Move some vehicles and you just went off to some impound lot and you're done with it?
If it is, then yes, we will have them towed and then they will be required to.
No RVs that have been abandoned in Omaha have showed up in our spots.
No, but we do have.
We've had a couple.
We have.
But we do have a little bit of a problem with, we think some of the homeless population is making it to the outer area. And so we've had, you know, abandoning the camp of where they're stripping down metal, you know, burning things in pits that aren't, you know, like railroad ties, things like that. So we've had several instances where we've had to remove all that stuff. So,
Larry,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. No hunting at any of these spots, then. So,
no.
Okay,
legal hunting. We've had that as well. So.
John, is this primarily directed at the homeless population?
No. Okay. It's no. We've had problems even before that.
Of various.
It's just in Game and Parks, we consulted with them a lot, and they have the same issues that. So we actually borrowed some of the language that they use, but they deal with the same thing we do.
We have. Wouldn't be in these rules, obviously, but an internal policy of when it is not necessarily criminal activity, but homeless population in the areas of our various parks, of things we do before we start gathering up their stuff.
Yeah, so we work with the City of Omaha, the homeless coordinator, and then also with the Douglas County Sheriff, and they have a process. So we reach out to them and say, hey, in fact, we drafted a notice to vacate, so... if they're on our property, they are given notice by either the city or the sheriff's department, and then they have a process where they go in and none of our staff, as far as that, clean up any of the encampments or anything like that. So they've got trained personnel, and they've got the authority to make that. So we've handed that duty off to them.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions? Larry?
I know we want to get this meeting going, but I had a question. Is there a lot of poaching going on? How much poaching is going on this?
I don't. So Rich may have a better idea, but I don't.
A little bit right now with deer, but it's physical as that site.
Yeah.
Cowled sturgeon poaching.
hey.
We had an incident here at Chaco that the Game and Parks is investigating.
Cowled sturgeon? Do we have them?
A deer.
I had to say it.
Roll call.
Teaser?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Gap?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Aye. I think that completes.
Oh, yeah, one more.
I've got one more. Item number 7, Little Papio Creek Channel Stabilization Project, part included.
Good afternoon. A new year, a little more Little Papio. That's a good thing to start the year off with. Put the map first. Okay, this project. project, first of all, is located at near 90th and Maple. So, let's work here. Okay. There's 90th and Maple, so it's north of Maple Street on Keystone Drive. There's two locations. And they're both on the left bank, looking down the street. One's actually a slough area, so it's a typical slide area for the next photograph, next diagram. One's actually a slide area, which is started actually in 2022. It's taken us over a year to get Corps of Engineers approval for permitting, so it's been there for a while. Unfortunately, the slide hasn't dropped a lot, nor have we lost the trail in the meantime, but we finally have approval to proceed with the repair of this. And so the plan is to go in and put in rock fill trenches, which are pretty perpendicular to the stream flow, about eight of these things, and then that will help stabilize that slope. We've used this before down near the Brass Perch, or also near the Baker Baxter Arena. So if you use a couple places in Little Pappy, and also a couple places in West Branch, this technique, it does work well. So the plan is to do this repair, and then also there's a spot upstream of this where there's a culvert that's inlet is undersized for the flow coming to it from the development, so we're trying to make a little larger inlet to make it more efficient so the water doesn't erode the slope. Right now the water is going over the top of the trail and it's eroding the slope. So these two repair spots are being proposed to be fixed. And so we received the three bids in December. They ranged from $129,000 to $219,000. The apparent low bidder was Ashland Road Excavating out of Plaston, Nebraska at $129,947.50. And engineers have evaluated this. HDR, there's actually a letter. You can go to that. That would be a photograph. So the recommendation letter from HDR, and they're recommending to go with the low bidder three. They feel like they're qualified to do the work. And so the work will probably be started in March, roughly. We're waiting for kind of the winter season to somewhat get over with, and then we hope to get done for the spring rain events. There's a short window there to get the work done. But it should be about a month of project. So we've, again, did this kind of work before, and it's been successful, so hopefully this one will be as well. Be happy to answer any questions you have on this particular project, what we plan to do, what we propose to do.
Thanks, Martin. We can have a motion on this item.
I'll motion for staff recommendation.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
I always get a little bit nervous when there's that big a disparity between the bids. Are you comfortable with this company? Have we used it before?
We haven't used the company before, but we saw the HDR bid, checked them out.
I saw the references.
It's pretty easy when you have a one that's considerably lower than the other bidders. You already say, what did they miss? But HDR did check them out and felt like they got all the qualifications. They understand what they got to do here. Again, they have did this work before, so it's a newcomer to us, but the other two are newcomers too as far as doing this kind of work. So it's not like we have an expert that's did this before. This particular work, but they have the kind of machine that did this work, and so we believe they can do the work. It will be, of course, guided by HDR. The engineer will be guiding them a little bit. This is not exactly routine work, because it's a rock fill trench. It's something different than they typically would probably do, but it's something that can be instructed and be guided to be done properly. So it's not real difficult work, just that they got to get in and get out quickly, because these trenches will not stay vertical very long, that answers your question.
I just always get a little bit nervous when it's that big.
That's a good point. So certainly you hope that they, my goal is always that there's at least one bidder below the engineer's estimate. Better about the business when it happens, but you always want to make sure there isn't like, 5,000 between the two, and it's like, what they miss.
That answered my question right away. I was wondering if they missed something, but they obviously go through right. This with HDR. So
HDR is as any engineering company, they're very skeptical, because they're actually the person with their name on the line here, as far as recommendations. So they did scrutinize and think pretty closely as to what they can do, and as far as they know, they can do the work. So that's kind of where we're at. Thank you.
And just talking to the owner, they are very interested in doing our work. They might be new to us, but they're not new to...
Yeah, so...
Yeah, and so they want to get involved with our projects, and so, you know, they obviously, you need to bid to get them, yeah, so they aggressively bid it, so...
They've been working on Omaha, too, as a side note, and then, like, there's never projects being listed that were in Omaha area, so...
Yeah.
Just like they're unclear with Omaha, you know, metro area.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I got a question. What's a snow removal allowance?
Because we're doing this work in March, we know that snow can happen, and so in talking to the owner of the property, which is Campbell, is the owner of the property, he gave us a pre-license to do the work. We also had provision that if we have snow issues here, we've got to take care of not the whole lot, but just where we're doing the work. It's your responsibility to take care of the snow. We said, well, what if you pile snow there, you know, for 2 months before we actually did the work? He said, well, that's your problem. And so we're trying to do this work in March because we think the snow will likely be gone by that time, but there is a provision that allows the money to pay the contractor to remove this pile of snow away. Basically, this pile of snow away, he's got to remove it, and so this provides him $1,500 to do that work. But if he doesn't have any snow removed, it's no payment. So it's one of those things where it's only if work actually happens. So March sometimes can be really a lot of snow, you know. So our consultant advises we do not want to do this work April or later, which would be no snow. They say you got to do it before the spring rains occur, otherwise you're going to be in trouble because this creek will be underwater, you know, many times, and you never know what's going to happen. So it's kind of between a rock and a hard spot. The owner doesn't really want us to do any work until at least March. And the PCR is saying you got to do work for April, so you got like a month there to get the work done. So this is provision to allow us to kind of do it in March, I guess.
Because we have to go through the owner's property to get to this.
Right. No access to the creek except to its owner's property. And he was gracious enough after I worked on him for a while to give us a free license to do the work. But he also said, you know, this is an inconvenience for us because we have a lot of things going on here in this property and we're kind of in the way. But he understood the need for it because the creek is landlocked. We have no way to get into the creek except through neighbors unless we go way down to Maple Street, which is not good access. So it's always challenging. A little pathway is always I call it the problem child of projects because there's no access. It's really a difficult place to work. So
this is not runoff from the parking lots on 90th, is it?
No, I don't think so. The slope is probably, what typically happens is the creek comes up and then it saturates the slope and then the slope loses strength and it slumps, you know, settles down. If there's water nearby, it probably doesn't help in any, but it's more of the issue that the creek has problem, but we've been fortunate it's been dry because otherwise this creek would have probably already gone by now, probably
okay.
Down the bottom. So it's kind of been static because it's been so dry this last year or two.
There used to be a bar over there, and I thought maybe they ran off all their stuff, and Tim's not looking at me.
It's a crematorium now.
Anyway.
Thanks.
Sure.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yeah.
And Chairman?
Thank you.
Yes. Item 8, we're adjourned.
Okay, we're all here. Can we do something?